بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, dear visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. So imagine this scenario for a moment, that you're speaking to a friend, so you exchange your salam, your greetings, and pleasantries, and you have some big news in your life. So either it has to do with you getting married, or your child getting married, or perhaps getting unmarried, someone is about to have a child, or there is some type of dispute, a scandal, a new employment, so on and so forth. So there's some sort of big news, some big development. And you're speaking to this friend and you give them this condition that you say to them, don't tell anyone, okay? So you start off with this condition and then you go ahead and you give them that big news. Or perhaps you say, if it's something that you have heard from someone else, that so-and-so told me not to tell anyone, but I'm just telling you. And many people are smiling now because we know this happens on and on and on, right? One after the other, this happens many times, regularly, right? So, you know, I heard this, okay, don't tell anyone, but okay, this is what happened. Okay, I'm not supposed to tell anyone, but I'll just tell you. And you tell this friend of yours, and now this friend is all of a sudden in on this big secret. And the friend starts itching, you know, all around, like, what the heck, this big news. I'm only one of the few people who knows this, and what am I going to do now? So this friend is itching to post it on Facebook, is itching to share with someone. Perhaps that friend is excited for you based on the news that you have given to him or her, or perhaps they're happy, maybe they're upset. So it depends, right? But they're now itching to do something with this piece of news the secret that you have shared with them. And the weight of holding that secret is too much. And your friend then tells someone else with the same condition that you gave them when you were telling them the secret. So they go around, they call someone else up and say, okay, you know, I'm not supposed to tell anyone, but I'm just letting you know, make sure you don't tell anyone. And then they divulge the same secret. And this chain then continues, right? This chain continues. Either it's something about you and you told someone, don't tell anyone, I'm telling you this. Or you heard it from someone else who said the same thing to you, but you told someone with the condition, don't tell anyone else. And this chain then continues. And every person who takes part in this chain has a share in that snowballing betrayal of trust. And it is indeed a betrayal of trust. And a betrayal of trust and the breaking of promises, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has indicated to us that these are some of the signs of hypocrisy, of nifaq. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that there are four qualities. There are four qualities. أَرْبَعٌ مَنْ كُنَّمْ فِيهِ كَانَ مُنَافِقًا خَالِصًا. There are four characteristics, and whoever has all of them is a hypocrite, a munafiqan khalisan, right, is a pure hypocrite. So anyone who has these four qualities is a pure hypocrite. But then he goes on, he says, whoever has some of them, even if he or she doesn't have these four characteristics in them, but has maybe three or two or even one, whoever has some of them has a characteristic of hypocrisy until they give it up. And what are these four? So when they are entrusted with something, they betray that trust. When a person is entrusted with something, they betray that trust, number one. Number two, when they speak, they lie. Number three, when they make a promise, they break it. And when they're involved in a dispute, they resort to lies and falsehood. So four characteristics that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. And he's told us that if you find these four, if anyone has these four, we should look at ourselves before we look at others. So if we have these four characteristics inside us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, because according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, then we are a pure hypocrite. And if we have any of them, then we have a portion of hypocrisy, a portion of nifaq inside of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So now when we go around divulging these secrets, it's number one, a trust that was entrusted, that we were entrusted with. And we are breaking that trust. We are not fulfilling that trust, number one. Number two, if we had agreed that, okay, yes, don't worry, I'm not going to tell anyone. Or make sure you don't tell anyone. So you say, yes, yes, okay, don't worry, what is it? Because of course, if someone tells you, right, let me tell you something, but make sure you don't tell anyone, you're going to do anything to find out what it is. Right? Because the suspense is just so much. You know, you really want to know what's next. So you say, yes, yes, okay, don't worry, I won't tell anyone. So if you then go ahead and tell anyone, then that's also breaking a promise as well. So now with one act of passing on the secret, not only have you betrayed the trust, but you've also broken a promise. So now, two of the characteristics are present. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Now, you may be thinking that what if the person doesn't agree to keep the secret? Okay, so you pick up the phone, you're talking to your friend, and your friend just says, okay, I have to tell you something, make sure you don't tell anyone, it's a secret. And then goes on. And you don't get a chance to say yes or no, or I agree, or stop, or nothing, you just continue to listen. You don't say anything. So what about that scenario? Because you haven't agreed, somebody is telling you. For that, let us resort to another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا حَدَّثَ الرَّجُلُ الْحَدِيثِ ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ فَهِيَ أَمَانَةً. That if a person tells you, if a man tells you something, then looks around, it's a trust. If a person is telling you something, and they're looking around, meaning to make sure that no one can hear the conversation, meaning they want to keep it private and they want to keep it secret, it is a trust. So my dear brothers and sisters, this tells us that even if someone tells you something and doesn't say that it's a secret, they don't stipulate it clearly that in the beginning of the conversation that it's a secret, but you're able to identify, you're able to tell that it is a private matter. You're able to tell that it is something they don't want people to know about. You're able to tell that this is something that they want to keep secret, they don't want others to know, then it must be kept as a secret as well. It is still a trust. Even in that situation, it is a trust. Other examples of that would be indicators. So somebody says, I want to talk to you about something, please close the door. Or, can I have a few words with you, let's step to the side. Or you're speaking to someone on the phone and they ask you, okay, am I on speakerphone right now? Right? Or if somebody says, is expecting privacy, sends you a private text message, right? Sends you an email with the expectation that it's going to be read only by you and by no one else, then that expectation is there for privacy and therefore you are required to give that privacy to that person. Now, if this is regarding something that is either good or benign, and if it's a secret, it's a trust and it needs to stay as a secret. If it's something that's negative, or defamatory or embarrassing, then it goes up to the next level of seriousness. Okay, so keeping a secret is important. It's a trust. Okay, but especially if it's something negative that you come across, something that's defamatory or embarrassing about someone, then it goes up a notch to the next level of seriousness. If it's something about a person and they don't like that thing, they don't like it being discussed, they don't like it being heard. So for example, you know, something that happened to them, something that was embarrassing, or a characteristic of theirs, so somebody who, I don't know, stutters or who has some other issue that they deal with, then this becomes ghibah. This becomes backbiting, and this is very serious. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ has addressed it, but first I'll mention the verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَقْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Right? Do not backbite each other. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a rhetorical question, so he answered. He says, you would detest it. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equated backbiting with eating the flesh of one's dead brother. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companions one day and he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ. Right? And do you know what is backbiting? And as was their habit, their practice, they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Right? That Allah and His Messenger know best. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, he defined what backbiting was. And he said that it is the mention of your brother, something about your brother that he dislikes. Right? So meaning your Muslim brother, your Muslim sister. Something about them that they dislike, something that you do not like, that has to do with them. So he was asked, it was said that, what if what I say about my brother is true? What if it's actually true? Right? What if he or she is really like that and really has this issue or really had something that happened to them? What about that? So Rasulullah said, if what you say is true, so even if you're saying what you, whatever you're saying about that person, if it's true, then that is backbiting. If it's true, then that is backbiting. And if it is not true, then you have slander. Okay? If it's true, that is backbiting. And if it's not true, it's even worse, that is slander. So, now we understand the difference, right? So we have the trust that we have to keep. Secondly, if it's something negative that a person would dislike, then that is backbiting and that is prohibited. Now, if it's something that the person doesn't like, and it's something private and hidden, then that becomes even more serious than ghibah, than backbiting. Okay? So if it's something that the person doesn't like, which was the case for ghibah, for backbiting as well. But in this case, it's something which is private and something which is hidden. So it's not something which happened in the open. Right? It's something that people don't know about, or nobody really found out. It's something which is private. Then making that known and discussing that is even more serious than ghibah, than backbiting. The Prophet ﷺ has said that لا يدخل الجنة نمام, that no person who spreads namima will enter Jannah. No person who spreads namima will enter paradise. Now the most common definition of namima is telling some people or telling someone what another person has said, what someone else has said about them in order to cause trouble amongst them. Okay, so tale-bearing. So you hear someone say something about someone else. It's not really your business, it has nothing to do with you. But you take what they have said, what you have heard, either from that person or even from secondary sources, and you take it to that person and relay it to them so that, you know, they can have a dispute, so that their enmity can increase, so that their hatred and their dislike for each other can increase. So doing it with that condition. Now it is said, so this is the most common definition. The scholars have written that namima is not just limited to doing that. It's not just limited to telling people what you have heard and so on and so forth. But rather, it refers to the disclosure of anything. It refers to the disclosure of anything that may hurt or offend somebody if it is disclosed. Okay, now, of course, it's a private matter that's going to be disclosed, right? So something which has been hidden or which is private, people don't know about, it happened in privacy, or something which people don't really know about, you take that and you make it public, or you talk about that. Whether it is the person who is being referred to, as if that person is going to be offended, or the person who hears it is going to be offended, or somebody else is going to be offended. So anything which is offensive in nature. Okay, it doesn't matter who is being offended or who is getting hurt by this. So whether it's the person who you're talking about, or whether the person who you're talking to, or whether it's a third party, regardless of that, all of this is included in namima. Whether it is disclosed verbally, so whether you say it with your tongue, with your mouth, whether you write it, whether it's in a text message, or an email, or a Facebook post, or a Twitter status, or even by means of a hint or a gesture, something that refers to somebody else, and they would be offended by it, and they would be hurt by it. Whether it is transmitted in an action, a word, or fault, or shortcoming in the person, or in someone else. So it doesn't matter. It's a very broad definition of namima. Right? So anything that can be hurtful to someone else, and that is that you are disclosing, which is a private matter. And the best policy then, it is written, is to keep silent and refrain from telling everything that we see of people's situations. So just because you heard something, just because you have come to know about something, it doesn't mean you need to go out and tell others about it. Keep it hidden, keep it private, respect people's privacy, unless speaking of it will bring some benefit or ward off some harm. So if you know that if you don't talk about this, if you know that if you don't warn people about it, or if you don't report it, then somebody will get hurt, or people's rights will be affected, there will be harm, then you need to take action. Right? That's an exception. Then you need to take action only to the extent of the need. Right? That's a legal maxim, right, when it comes to Islamic jurisprudence, that al-dhururatu tuqaddaru biqadri al-dhurura. Right? So when you have a need and you need to make an exception based on the need, then the exception is to the extent of the need. Right? As much as is needed, you do, otherwise you refer back to the original principle. Okay? So this has to do with namima. The Prophet ﷺ reported to have said, asked, shall I tell you about the most evil ones from amongst you? Of course, we don't want to be those people. Right? Shall I tell you of the most about the most evil ones from amongst you? So Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, yes, of course, Ya Rasulullah. So he said, those who go around with namima. Those who go around with namima. They make enmity between friends and they seek problems for the innocent. Because they're indulging in matters which are none of their business. Right? It's one of the qualities of the believers that they stay away from the things which do not concern them. Right? So if it doesn't affect you, it's none of your business. You are not involved in any way. It doesn't affect you in any way. Then don't worry about it. Right? You don't need to discuss it. You don't need to make it a topic of conversation and have chit-chat about it and tell other people about it. Right? These are not the qualities of the believers. There's a very serious hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that he was out on some of the gardens of Medina and he heard the sounds of two people who were being tormented in their graves. The azab al-qabr. And this is a reality that of course we know of, which may not be visible most of the time, but it is a reality. So the Prophet ﷺ heard the sounds of two people who are being given that azab in their qabr in the grave, and he said that they are being punished not for something that was difficult to avoid. They were being punished not for something that was difficult to avoid, but it is nevertheless a major sin. Okay, so they're being punished for something, they're getting the azab for something which was not difficult to avoid, but it is still a major sin. One of them did not protect himself from urine. Okay, so take measures to avoid contamination with the najasa, especially with urine. And the other used to walk about spreading namima. Right? The second person had this trait where they would go around and spread namima amongst the people. So now it goes without saying that if such is the seriousness of speaking about things which are true, because remember, in both of these cases, right, for ghiba as well, it's based on something that is true. It's true, but it is disliked by the person who you're talking about. In namima, it is something which is true again. But this time, it is you know, either with the intention of creating disputes between people, or it is, you know, divulging things which are private. So if it's so serious to talk about things which are true, but doing it in this incorrect manner, then you can imagine how serious buhtan is, slander, right? Making false accusations against people. So this takes it to the height of seriousness. And all of this is not just for the one, all of these, you know, these different principles are not just for the person who is involved in saying these things. Right? So you could be thinking, well, I'm not the one who says it, but okay, if I hear it, people around me say it, at least I'm not doing it. I'm clean. I'm protected. That's not the case. Because there's also a responsibility on the listener, the person who hears these types of conversations. There's a responsibility on the listener to either stop it, to say something, or to go away if they're not able to do that, or to tune out if they're not even able to go away. The Prophet ﷺ reported to have said that if a man's Muslim brother is slandered in his presence, and of course this applies to the sister as well, and he is capable of defending him and he does so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend him in this world and in the next. On the other hand, if he fails to defend him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy him in this world and the next. So when we hear things being said about other people, backbiting going on, gossip going on, trust being betrayed, or even slander, we have a responsibility to stand up and say something, object to it, stop it, or at the very least, step away and not be a party to those inappropriate conversations. So, to summarize, secrets are a trust. And the trust must be maintained it must be protected. And if one hears something, even if a person doesn't explicitly state that this is a secret, but if a person is able to tell, due to the behavior of the person who's speaking to you, that they want to keep it private, that it is a private matter, then it is a trust, and it must be protected as such. Backbiting is about something that is true, but that person doesn't like, and it is very serious. Divulging things that are hurtful, and especially to cause trouble amongst people, is even more serious, unless there is a valid reason for it. Making false accusations, of course, the most serious of all. In all these cases, even the person who's hearing it has a responsibility to stop it, to defend the person who's being spoken about, or to move away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to protect all of our trusts, including secrets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and the understanding to avoid, to stay away from gatherings and conversations of backbiting and gossip and slander. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us the strength to stand up against it when it happens. Ameen wa akhidah wa akhidah.